Hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion. As always, so thankful that you've chosen to join us today. We're going to be in James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I'll go ahead and read them for us. It says this, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." Really strong words here from James. Words that it's almost like, really? It seems pretty extreme. But here James is talking about the destructive power of words. And I think one of the reasons maybe I first react with, really? Is the classic kid phrase that for some reason I was maybe taught, maybe you were taught. I think we've maybe gotten away from this one, and then maybe others will quote this same line or phrase to you throughout the Drivecast this week, so forgive my redundancy, potentially. The phrase, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." I don't know if you were taught that. I think I was. Again, I think we've maybe moved beyond that phrase because I think we've realized, actually, that's just the opposite of that is true. Bones heal. Sometimes even stronger than before they were broken. But words hurt, words cut, words linger, and you can't put a bandage on them. You can't wrap them in a cast and stay off of them because they sort of linger in your brain. Maybe you've had a phrase or something that was said to you that echoes in your mind. And maybe it has been for decades. I think I've maybe shared before, but you know, somebody close to me once said, when I was young, "Paul, the only reason people like you is because you can smile. You're not intelligent." I grew up in a very intellectual family, and so to me, that was like such a cutting thing that was said to me. And for honestly, decades, that was something that shaped my view of myself. Maybe you've got something similar. Maybe somebody said something to you that really hurt and shaped the way you viewed yourself. I was doing a little research just on the sort of neurological dynamic of things, like what's happening actually within our brains. And there was a study done that I felt was really fascinating. A study called "Do Words Hurt?" By Maria Richter. And to be clear, I don't know this individual. I haven't read the full study. It may indicate things that I would disagree with. All that to say, this point in the study I found fascinating, and I'll read it to you. So a group of collaborating scientists monitored subjects' brain responses to auditory and imagined negative words. During this process, they discovered painful or negative words to increase implicit processing within the subgenial anterior cingulate cortex, which, I mean, that's what I was thinking. I'm sure you were thinking that would happen as well. Anyway, essentially what the study proved is that negative words release stress and anxiety, inducing hormones in subjects. And so literally from a neurological standpoint, from a brain chemistry standpoint, our minds release hormones in connection to words. Isn't that fascinating? And the study goes on to say, well, if hormones are released in response to certain words, what we need to do is think on positive things, think on things that are good, that we should, and of course, good science always agrees with the scriptures, that we should think things that are good and holy and pure. I think about Psalm 1:2 says, "But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night." We should be thinking things that are pure. We should be taking those thoughts captive that are negative, those words that have maybe been spoken over us, and think about, God, who do you say that I am? What do you say that I am? What identity do you give me? Not the one that was spoken over me by someone. And then two, in that, we need to think, well, what are the words I speak over others? How do I speak to my wife? How do I speak to my children, my coworkers? Do my words cut, linger, weigh heavy on individuals? Or are they uplifting, encouraging, directing one toward the Lord and toward goodness and fruits of the Spirit? And so I think we need the Holy Spirit to lay on us an honest assessment, both in the words that maybe we've received and held on to, and the words that we give and maybe others hold on to. And so with that in mind, I want to pray for us and ask that the Lord would work in only the ways he can. As always, thanks so much for joining us on the Drivecast today. I do hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Father, thank you for your word, that it is so true, so good. Thank you for the warning and the power that our words have. Of course, our words have power. If we think of, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and then Jesus, you are the Word, and you became flesh. Of course, words have power. God, you spoke, and all things came into existence. And so would you remind us of what you say about us, that you've made us your children, that you've forgiven us, that you've placed your Spirit within us, that you have good works set out before us, that we might walk in them. And would you convict us if we are using our words in a way that is destructive, that cuts, that hurts, that brings pain, dread, fear? Lord, we don't want to do that. But we need your Holy Spirit to work in us, to give us words that are right, true, and good, and that uplift others and point others toward you. God, we need your help. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.